It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We're getting up to speed on developments at the state capitol with WPR's politics team. We'll check in on the state budget process as the legislature's budget writing committee voted to remove hundreds of items from Governor Evers' proposed two-year spending plan. Here's Joint Finance Committee co-chair, Republican State Senator Howard Markline on WISN's Upfront.
We're taking out the policy out of the budget. I believe those items should be debated not by 16 members of the Joint Finance Committee, but ought to be separate legislation and go through the legislative process.
But first, two law firms are asking the Wisconsin Supreme Court to overturn the state's congressional maps and redraw boundaries ahead of the 2026 midterms, arguing the current maps unfairly favor Republicans. To break things down, we called in WPR's Capitol Bureau Chief, Sean Johnson. Sean, welcome.
Hi, Kate.
Hi, and state politics reporter Rich Kramer is here. Rich, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me, Kate.
Rich, let's start with you. So last week, two lawsuits come down challenging the state's congressional maps. What are the distinctions of these two cases?
Okay, so the first lawsuit came from a group called a Democratic law firm called Elias Law Group. That one claims that Wisconsin's eight congressional voting districts are so gerrymandered in favor of Republicans that they essentially violate Democrats' free speech and association rights under the state constitution. They say even though Democrats and Republicans have gotten roughly the same number of votes in recent statewide elections, the maps are so slanted toward the GOP that they've been able to hold six of Wisconsin's eight congressional districts. The second lawsuit comes from a group called the Campaign Legal Center and takes a much more narrow approach when arguing that the congressional voting map is unconstitutional. They say it doesn't have the same number of voters in each of the eight districts, and it also claims that more counties were split by these congressional district lines than necessary. The congressional map was actually drawn by Democratic Governor Tony Evers, but under a 2021 directive by the Supreme Court's former conservative majority, known as Least Changes. In essence, what that means is the court told Evers and other parties in the lawsuit to draw maps that make as few changes as possible to a map for the congressional districts that was passed by Republicans a decade earlier.
Some people listening might say, wait, I thought they already redrew these maps. What's going on here? Can you explain the difference between the state's legislative maps and these congressional maps?
Well, it gets a little confusing because there's redistricting lawsuit every other day, it seems. But the case that you just talked about argued that Republican-drawn state assembly and state senate voting maps were unconstitutional because several chunks of voting districts were uncontiguous. What that means is they were disconnected and located in neighboring districts. The lawsuits we're talking about today, though, focus on the eight voting districts used to elect members of the U.S. House of Representatives from Wisconsin.
So, Sean, you know, it feels a bit like deja vu with Wisconsin's congressional maps lawsuit because the state Supreme Court rejected a similar suit last year. What's changed?
We don't know what changed because we don't exactly know why the court rejected that case to begin with. This was after the court had struck down the state assembly and Senate maps that Rich was talking about there. And so it seemed like it was maybe ripe for a congressional lawsuit. One was brought and it kind of lingered before the court for a while. Eventually, the court just put out an order and declined to take the case up on what's known as an original action petition, which is basically asking the court to take the case directly rather than have it go through the normal court system. And when a court takes that step, they don't have to stay. They don't have to say why, and they didn't. And so that's kind of their prerogative. This time, you know, it's back to the drawing board, and they could make a similar step here. Or I think these groups are banking on the court is going to view that issue differently this time around.
Can you explain what's at stake, Sean? How competitive are particularly the U.S. House seats in Wisconsin?
And just think about the U.S. House and just the kind of tension in the federal government right now at large. I mean, the House has a very slim Republican majority, and it has voted kind of as one voting block for Republicans more than a lot of people maybe thought a year ago that would happen. And so they've been able to And, you know, to the degree that stuff has gone through the House and now through executive order, they've been able to back up President Trump's agenda. And so Democrats want that majority. They want to put a stop to Republican ideas making their way through Congress. And in Wisconsin, they have a very realistic chance at picking up two seats. They could potentially, depending on the cycle and what the electorate is like next November, we don't know, they could potentially win a couple seats that are competitive under the existing map. But if they redraw the map so that it's more competitive, right now you've got a 6-2 Republican majority in Wisconsin's congressional delegation. You could easily see that going to 4-4, and that's two seats that whittle away at that GOP majority in Congress.
Are those two seats, Derek Van Orden's and Brian Stiles, that could possibly be in jeopardy?
You got it. I mean, Van Orden has been competitive every year. That's Ron Kind's old seat, and it was competitive when he was there, too. And that is definitely one of the primary seats. Brian Stiles' seat in southeast Wisconsin is also competitive by the numbers. He's just managed to do well there, despite a district that gives Democrats a theoretical opening. So those are the two that are competitive right now. If the map is redrawn, they could get even more competitive.
We're getting up to speed on developments at the state capitol. That is WPR's Capitol Bureau Chief Sean Johnson. We have state politics reporter Rich Kramer with us. We are going to orient ourselves now to budget season. Sean, starting with you, at last week's Joint Finance Committee, we saw Republicans just pulling out hundreds of items from Governor Evers' two-year budget proposal. What effect does that have on this process?
Kind of resets it. The governor introduced this budget, as governors do, in February, and traditionally that would be the starting point for all budget negotiations. If the governor put it in there, you, the legislature, you had to talk about it, you had to vote on it. There was kind of an assumption that that thing that was in the budget had a good chance of staying there. And what Republicans have kind of done with the action that they took last week in that vote is they've said, no, the assumption is that, well, first of all that stuff is coming out and we are going to decide what the starting point is for budget negotiations. It kind of puts them in the driver's seat more than the governor.
Rich, does that mean that we're going back to base budget in a way? And, you know, what do you see that came out of this budget?
Well, some of the things that struck me that came out were I saw something that would have been some funding to replace lead pipes in Milwaukee. That was axed from the budget. There was something from with relation to cybersecurity initiatives for state government that was pulled. But also you're seeing things pulled that get pulled all the time by the Republicans and that have been introduced repeatedly by Governor Tony Evers. Things like, you know, marijuana legalization and those types of Democratic wish list items.
Sean, we do have this budget surplus lingering here. Last estimate, $4.6 billion. We got the Legislative Fiscal Bureau expected to publish revised numbers this week. Is there any clarity on how the surplus might be used in the new budget?
I think a lot of it is going to be, I mean, $4.6 billion is a huge amount of money, and that's a problem that many lawmakers and governors in the past would have loved to had. But it's something that this governor and this legislature have dealt with for a couple budgets now, where they've had this big surplus and it's still there because they kind of can't figure out what to do with it. Republicans, generally speaking, want to use it all up on tax cuts. The governor has wanted a mix of tax cuts and a big increase in education funding. And they're kind of still in that position. It's not as big as it seems, though, because there were a lot of programs in Wisconsin that were funded with federal money during the pandemic. And so the state kind of has to backfill those programs if they want to continue them. And, you know, there's also the added kind of uncertainty of what's happening with federal funding going forward and whether Wisconsin is going to get as much as, you know, it was used to in the past if there are big budget cutting measures in Washington.
If those go through, that could totally upend the budget. I would imagine there could even potentially be money held back or an alternate budget. What do you hear?
So what we've heard from the Republican co-chairs of the Budget Committee is that it's just business as usual right now, that they're not going to wait to see what happens in Washington. They'll craft their budget based on the best available information. And so that's the official word as of right now. But when you're talking about the amount of money that Wisconsin gets for programs like Medicaid or for transportation, those decisions in Washington will have a huge effect on decisions here in Madison. And so, you know, whether or not they wait for them, it will have a trickle-down effect at one point or another.
Rich, the state Supreme Court upheld the governor's partial budget veto powers last month. That came out of him using that veto pen to strike digits and a hyphen in a budget line that extended school funding for hundreds of years. Will Republican lawmakers put numbers in their budget this time around? Do you anticipate any potential effect from that?
I've learned that it's a fool's errand for me to try to anticipate what lawmakers do sometimes. But, you know, Republican Assembly Speaker Robin Voss has mused about maybe having to write up the budget differently to avoid Evers' powerful partial veto pen. That's something they've already been kind of doing, but Voss also hinted that the budget drafting process could be delayed. This was all at least a month or two ago, and as Sean said, things appear to be on track. So we'll see what the product looks like from the Republicans.
All right, July 1, we come closer every day. Rich and Sean, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks, Kate.
Thank you.
Rich Kramer is WPR's state politics reporter. Sean Johnson is WPR's Capitol Bureau chief. We've been talking about the latest developments in state politics with the budget writing process and lawsuits from Democrats challenging Wisconsin's congressional maps.